And coming to today, I think last week's preach, for those of you who were here, if you weren't here, I would actually encourage you to go listen to it with Mike DeFay being with us. And he talked about something that was pretty basic, I think, for many of us in some sense, but it's the topic of friendships. And in some sense, you know, as adults, we would hope that we would have this thing sorted by now. We know how to make friends, we know how to be good friends, we know how to keep friends, and so that's something you teach your four-year-old, which I'm trying to do now at school, you know. Every day when I go fetch her, "Die my give us lelik with mine," and that one did that, and then you figure out that she hit that one, and you're like, oh my goodness, you know what happened? There was that once, and you know, you're trying to train her how to be a friend, and then sometimes as I'm speaking to her, you realize, I need to take note of some of the things I'm saying to her. You guys like didn't find that funny? So let me tell you why I think it's applicable to you. In 2023, the U.S. Surgeon General released a report saying that loneliness has become an epidemic. They even compared the health impact of chronic loneliness equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Want me to repeat that? So there's a study from the States that said, in 2023, which is now 3 years ago already, loneliness became an epidemic in our time. And the health impact that it has on our bodies is equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Wild. Wild. The report from the United States Department of Health and Human Services described loneliness as a major public health issue affecting millions of people. And we live in a world where we are more connected through technology than ever before, yet many people are feeling lonelier than ever before. And God designed us not for loneliness, but he said this, "I've put the lonely into family." And throughout scripture, even like Mike touched on last week, it looked at, you know, the gift of godly friendships to us, people who walk with us faithfully. And so, you know, if it's true in the world that there's a lonely people out there, I would say there's a large chunk among us here this morning that if you can pull back the veil of our hearts a little bit this morning and look past the service level, look past the pretense, look past the rhythm, I think we'll be shocked to see that there's a large percentage of us that actually feel quite lonely and isolated. And it's a problem. Because in the house of God, he said that's the one thing that it should never be. And so, not making it heavy, but I want you this morning as I'm ministering, I actually want you to do that with your heart a little bit and just say, God, look in here, and not for self-pity, you know. Like, I think if we all want to scratch, we would probably all feel lonely at some stage, you know. And I don't want us to go to, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some worms place. We're not going there. But what we're doing is we're opening our hearts. And we're actually saying, God, if I'm very honest with myself, I was created for connection. I was created for connection with people around me. I was created to be real with others. And so would you come into that space and would you show me what is your perspective on this morning? And so that's what I want to do with us. Are you guys with me? All right. And you know, for me as a teenager, just as I was preparing this morning, I was reminded when I was a teen, one of the big things, when you're 16 years old, there's two things that really weigh heavy on your heart, you know, as a young boy. You're wondering, what does the girls think about me? That's number one, okay? And so you're trying to, and now if you got saved, you're trying to think, you know, what are the seven things that I'm looking for in a wife one day? What will she be like, you know? And you scan through everyone in your church, you know. Nobody else, but any men being honest here, you know, okay? That was like the thing. You're looking, yeah, thank you, Jeff, okay? You're looking, who's going to meet my expectation of a wife, okay? And you're looking, that's not good when you're a teenager, okay? There's the other side that you're looking when you get saved and you come out of the world and you come into the church. You're looking for friends. Friends is not going to drain you. Friends is not going to pull you back into the world. You're looking for people who's going to strengthen you and direct you towards the Lord. And I remember we were a whole bunch of people that got saved together. I was in a church in Bloemfontein. I'll give you a short history. And we were about 70 people at youth group every week. And in one term, God did something in the schools in Bloom, and we went from 70 youth on a Sunday evening to 400. And it was just this massive explosion of salvations that happened. It was amazing. I mean, we had a youth hall, I don't know the size to guess it now, but much smaller than this. And we were forced to get there the one Monday morning all with sledgehammers and knock the back wall of the youth hall open because we couldn't sit anymore in the youth hall. And the pastor said, go for it. We knocked the back wall open and we packed chairs onto the grass. And we had youth like that for a long time until they were forced to build on because there was just this explosion that happened. It was powerful. And it was a privilege to be part of something that the Lord has done there. And then, but now you're looking, okay, who's going to be my friend? And you're looking at all your peers and just nobody meets my needs. I've tried to reach out to so many. I haven't been invited to one person's home. And then they had a birthday party and all 800 of them were there and me wasn't invited, you know. And you get this complex issue in yourself, you know. And then all my buddies that I led to the Lord suddenly became part of the leadership team in the church and I wasn't invited, you know. And you have all these insecurity stuff that come in there. And I remember the one day my youth pastor came to me and he said to me, Hannes, I want to encourage you with one thing. Instead of looking for the perfect friends, why don't you become it for others? Instead of you looking for the perfect friend, why don't you become that for others? And I tell you, it put something in my hands that I said, all right, I know in a sense what I'm looking for in other friends, and I'm going to try to become that for people even when they don't love me. And I tell you, it was a turning point in my life. It was one of the first times that I actually felt there was a proactiveness that came in, and I became a friend to others. And today, there's still many of them who are friends to me. Unfortunately, I mean, this is beside the point. Many of them have fallen away from the Lord, unfortunately. But there's still many that became deep friends in their time. But there was a proactiveness, a front-footedness that came in. And so... I want to today speak about friendships to us. And in some ways, you know, I said this to Mariska. One thing that moving to Mossel Bay taught me about myself, and now I'm gonna share with my heart here with you guys, I realized that I suck at making friends. Just honest. And here's why. Is I realized I became quite functional. So all my stuff was connection with people, not all the stuff, okay, but I was like, stuff that I felt I had to do, and you try and squeeze things into a busy life, and you know, there's always running from the one emergency to the other, and it's just busy, 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 and you're squeezing things in, and never slow down, and try and evaluate, have I even made friends around me that it's just people that I love to hang with, and just be part, and I don't have to lead them, I can just be, speaking about me now, né? And about probably halfway in being here, about a year in, I felt the Lord hijack me. And it says, now you need to make a handbrake turn here and become relational, not intentional, you know. And so we made a handbrake turn. And I want to say there's been many, even among you here, that has become great friends to us. And so I've grown in it. But I realized that it's not been natural for me. Mariska has had my friends all over the place, you know. It's just been connected to this one and that, these deep chats and whatever. And I'm like, I need to make a plan here, you know. And so maybe today I'm also speaking to the men a little bit more, yeah. But not only the men. But I want to look at three things this morning that I want to bring to us. And I actually think, friends, and I'm going to call you friends this morning a lot more. As I want to say that I think friendships is way more important for us than what we think. And you might even ask the question, why would we talk about friendships in church? All right. It's way more spiritual than what we think. Because you were not created to run this race on your own. None of us can actually make it, even if you think you can. Even the introverts, you're not going to make it. You need me, and I need you, and you need these guys next to you. And so I want to, this will be my opening line to you, for 12 minutes into the preach, okay? Loving one another is one of the highest callings that God has given us. Loving one another is one of the highest callings that we have as a church. And I'm not speaking about bearing with one another. I'm talking about loving one another. You can bear with one another in a marriage, and you can become great housemates, fight frequently, and then kind of move on. Or you can have a marriage where you genuinely love one another and you'll die for one another. Same with friendships. You can bear with people in church and you can accommodate people, and you can kind of play the program, or you can become lovers of one another, actually, in a good sense. You hear what I'm saying there? And so, I want to look at this morning. Are you guys all right? Yes, that went heavier than I thought. Wah! But let's get in there, okay? So, there's three things I want to touch on this morning. I want to touch on the need for friendships. And I want to look at it scripturally. I want to look at the need for friendships. Now, I'm forgetting my other points. I want to look at marks of godly friendship. And so I'm not going to talk about friendship in the world here, okay? That's a whole other preach, and I cut all of it out because otherwise we'll be here the whole day. We're going to look at marks of a godly friendship, and then I'm going to look at practical ways to move towards friendship. Because I think all of us here, I want us to, some of you are saying, I'm sorted, man. I've got my three friends and I'm happy, you know? And I've got 100 friends and I'm happy. And that's great. But I want all of us today to take steps forward towards one another in godly friendship, all right? Are you guys with me? So let's jump into this. Throughout Paul's letters, actually, we see frequently Paul and Peter and the apostles and Jesus. He speaks about this thing called friendship. And we see this in 1 Thessalonians 4:9. He says, now about your love for one another, Paul actually says this. We don't need to talk about this, but somehow we need to talk about these things. Okay, he says, we don't need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Wow. He says, actually, I'm not supposed to tell you this because God has made it quite clear. He says, I've died for you on a cross. And he says, and in the same way that I've loved you, I want you to love one another. Ha! He says, that should have been enough for you. But we don't get it always, okay? He says, you've been taught by God how to love one another. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. Hebrews 13:13, it says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. There's this keeping on. It's like a stirring. It says, I want you to, we grow in this thing. You never get like, oh, thank goodness. I'm sorry about all these other people that feel lonely. I'm sorted. No. It says, keeping on growing in this. And here's the killer in 2 Peter 1:5. Peter says this, and I think many of us know the scripture. It says, for this reason. Who's got a Bible? I've got a Bible with me. Oh, my child tore out another page just this weekend. How's that? She doesn't like Corinthians. It's the second time that Corinthians bit the dust, you know, and I'm trying to keep it together here by sellotape. It's been horrible. Anyway, 2 Corinthians 7 bit the dust this week. Anyway, so now I'm looking at 2 Peter here. If you got your Bible with me, do you still bring Bibles to church? Yeah. That's a good thing, all right? So 2 Peter 1. He says, I'm going to get in from verse 3. He says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I love this. He says, God has granted us all things that we need to live and to be godly. Through the knowledge of him, not because we're so bright and we're mature in age. He says, by getting to know him, who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted us to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of his divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Powerful. And then he says from verse 5, he says, for this reason, based on what you just heard, on what God has done, not on what you've done, on what God has done, he says, make every effort. Guys, I want you to know, I'm going to pause there. You will not grow as an individual in the Lord if you don't make effort. It's not going to just happen. It's not. I love our wise ones. Now, I want to say that one of the biggest blessings to us as a church. Yes. Come on. Reason why they've learned that following the Lord, there's a working with God involved. It's there. It's deep. They've walked the walks with God, and they're still growing. But I want to say, you're not going to just fall into maturity. You're being trained. You're working towards it. You're fighting against sin. You're fighting against your own wrestles. You're fighting against your own insecurities. I just want to say this morning, I shared with Jeff, I was so fired up coming to church this morning. 8 o'clock this morning, or 7:45 this morning, something triggered me, and I went down the hall. And I, if I wanted to, I could sit there this morning and I could be very grumpy with you this morning because I had a personal issue on the side that I couldn't get sorted this morning. And I went outside, I sat on my stoop and I said, God, I'm in trouble here this morning, but I can see what it's trying to do with me. And I wrestle my flesh into maturity, actually. And says, Hannes, you're not going to fall into the self-pity thing now that's laying at your doorstep. Master over it. That's a side preach, by the way. But I want to say it's great to know that you need to make every effort to walk with God. If that's one thing you remember, that'll be a great point for today. Okay, so it says make every effort to supplement your faith. Why? Because faith comes the moment we respond to God. We said, God, I believe in you. There's faith. Wow. Okay, now you need to supplement it. Okay, I love Ruan's kids' toys this morning. Comes here in supplement bottles, protein stuff, you know. It says, that's why it looks like, you know. He supplements himself, you know. And it says, so add to yourself. That's one of some of the other translations that it says. Add to your faith, okay, virtue. And virtue with knowledge. So, remind me what virtue is about. Sorry, I didn't mean to go this deep into the scripture, but I feel God wants to do something. English people, what does virtue mean again? Moral excellence. So now Paul says, now that faith come, there's moral excellence that comes to us. You can't keep living the way you used to. There's something in us as faith came that we come out of the world and we become holy like He's holy. You supplement your faith with that, all right? I'm not going to labor on these things. But then he says, with knowledge, friends, you need to consume this thing. It's not a bad thing when your Bible papers just get written out because it means it's lying there on the couch for your kids to see. All right? You need to read this thing. You need to devour it. You need to learn about God. I think sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm wrestling with the leaders even. I said, guys, we can't just do things because someone taught us that in grade 2. You need to learn. You need to grow. You need to discover God. You need to enjoy God. You need to, wow. You know, I'm reading Ezekiel now at the moment. In some ways, I'm like, have I ever read Ezekiel? I think so, back in the day. I was like, what's going on here, you know? But I'm learning about God as I'm going through it. And I'm growing in knowledge, you know? Knowledge with self-control. Oh, that's a good one. You know, because if knowledge that without self-control comes, we just get puffed up and we become, you know, reckless, actually. That's the opposite of self-control. And God doesn't want reckless Christians. He wants self-controlled people that will be good image bearers of Him. All right? You're gonna see how this gets to friendship now, by the way. Self-control with steadfastness. And steadfastness for me is one of the greatest calls as a Christian, is to be able to persevere through every season and every trial and not fall off the wagon. Is to remain with God through the good and the bad. Steadfast. Remain on your course. I want to say, if you want to be an effective person in the house of God, lead yourself. Lead yourself through your emotions. Lead yourself through the difficulties. Steadfast. And steadfastness with godliness. Godliness is like when they cut us, we reflect Christ. We look like Him. When they look at us, it's we bear. I love Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, I think it says, you became our letters of recommendation because God has written on your heart. He says, if they want to know what Jesus is like, they should look at you. You became ambassadors of Christ. An ambassador is now, we've got a South African guy in the UN that says, I'm speaking on behalf of South Africa. This is what we want. So God says, I'm going now. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. And you're going to become my ambassador on earth to tell the world what I want. And you're going to look like me. That's a call, by the way. All right. And now we actually need to get to what I'm preaching about. And then he says, and godliness, and this is right at the end, he says, and godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, I love that. It firstly needs to become mine. I can't just know about it. Someone once said this, the truth isn't yours when you hear it. It isn't yours when you know it. It isn't yours when you teach it. It's yours when you've been tested on it and you still hold to it. That's when it's yours. These things need to become yours. It needs to be part of you. It needs to be in you. And then it says, if it is yours and are increasing, so I grow it. I still work with it. I'm still being formed. It says, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Powerful. One of the most frustrating things for me, I would say this, and I think for most of you here, is when I feel ineffective in what I'm doing. Ineffective. Yeah? Like if I had a week and I'm like, and I look back and it says, I don't really know what I've done this week. You know, it's one of the most frustrating things for me. I want to be able to see my labor producing something. I want to see some of my what I put in. I want to see a fruit behind it, fruitfulness. And the same in my Christian walk, man. And it's not like I'm bargaining with God, but I said, Lord, I don't want to just walk my whole life with you and remain a baby Christian. I want to grow. I want to become effective. I want to, when I speak to people, I want it to carry weight. I want it to be the fruit of the Spirit in me. And he says, this is how it all happened. These qualities need to be mine and need to increase. And now, I love at the end where Peter actually says, he says, brotherly affection needs to become yours for you to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's powerful. It actually says, here's the catch. You'll never be able to become mature like God wants you to on your own. You need brothers and sisters around you. And not just bearing with one another, but affection for one another. You know, and then he says, and then brotherly affection with genuine love. And I think love, you know, we don't talk about it often enough. But, and I think it might be Jeff could do that a lot while I'm away, maybe, no? I'm teasing there. But love is this, is that we cannot love well if we forget that God loves us first. And even doing communion this morning, I think, you know, the Bible says we must do this as often as we get together. Why? Because we need to remember, if it wasn't for Christ that loved me, like there isn't much in me sometimes that want to love others. But because I'm secured in the love of Christ, I know that He's bought me. He sought me out when I was running away from Him. And He puts that in me. And He says, now go and love my people like that. It's different. It's different. And so now He gives us these two qualities. And He says, they need to be yours and increasing for us to genuinely grow into spiritual maturity. It says, even our knowledge of Jesus Christ can stop if brotherly affection isn't ours. And brotherly affection is quite an interesting word, because I think in the times that we live in, brotherly and affection doesn't go together. Yeah? I went to look how many times Paul instructed the church. This is actually interesting. He instructed the church to greet one another with a holy kiss. Yeah? There's four times that I could find quickly when I searched. Just four times that Paul said to the church, I instruct you to greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, I'm not putting a new law in here for us today, okay? It could go weird very quickly. But there was something in that day where Paul said, I want you to be affectionate to one another. I want you to be genuine with one another. I want you to display affection to one another as brothers, to love one another. There's times where Paul, you know, at the end of Corinthians, where Paul had to leave, it says that the elders wept together as they realized this is probably the last time that they're going to see Paul. And it says, often when these brothers came together, you see that there was much tears as they were together. Affection. Powerful. And, you know, I think for friendships, I need to skit here. I'm delaying myself. You guys still all right? You know, this is still point one, the need for friendships. But I'm thinking, you know, having faithful friends, it even makes us better spouses and parents. I read this once. John Piper said this. He says, many of us give our friendships less attention than they deserve, and we suffer for it. The absence of good friends slowly starves everything else we do. A husband without good friends will be a worse husband. Ladies, a husband without friends will be a worse husband. All right? And the same is a mother without good friends will be a worse mother. a pastor, a doctor, a teacher, an engineer will all be less effective at their callings without the support and camaraderie of good friends. And I can say this undeniably. I found this to be true in my life. And my wife has learned this. Thank God. Where is she? She's there somewhere. Yeah? Out. Yeah? But she's learned this. She's actually learned for me the benefit of being with good, godly, faithful friends is good for our marriage. So there's times when my wife actually encouraged me, you need to go see this person. Kicks me out of the house. She would sometimes say to me, I think you need to give Grant a call maybe. I think you need to go spend time with this person. Sometimes like, was it Friday or Thursday? Vili said we need to go play paddle. And I was Muchman. I played the whole week paddle. And Mariska said to me, I think it'll be good for you to go play paddle with the boys. And it was good. I come back much happier. Come home much happier. There's something about friendships that actually makes me a better husband and a better dad. And so I want to say to the spouses, don't prevent your spouse from spending time with friends. Now, of course, there's limits. They can't be out every night till 12 o'clock and doing whatever, you know. I'm talking about good faithful friends here, all right? But it actually makes us better at our calls. And just, I'm going to start running through my points here just because I don't want to take forever. But I want to say this, is you can't follow Jesus well in isolation. God didn't design you to walk alone. Isolation, and this is the thing, is where discouragement, temptation, and lies grow the quickest. When I'm alone and I'm not known, and when I talk about being known, this is like that nobody knows what's really going on in here. It's when the lies, the temptation, and the accusations grow the quickest, and I'm in trouble. When I bare my heart, when I'm known, I'm safe. It's God's way to keep me, actually, and you. Friends help us to keep perspective. When life gets heavy, friends help us see God's faithfulness again. And I love this, you know. It's like friends, genuine friendship is this, that I don't want, you know, one thing I hate is cheap advice. Have you guys found this? When you bare your heart with someone that really doesn't know you and they don't know all the circumstances and they're chipping you, you know, actually, I just think you need to do this a little bit, you know? 10 years ago, that worked for me. I think it will work for you too. And I'm like, you don't know anything about where I'm at, you know? Am I being blunt here now, okay? But I hate cheap advice, okay? It doesn't work well for me. But you know what works well for me? Is even when there's people that don't know me well, but they help me to find perspective in Christ again and perspective in eternity again. They don't climb with me into the hole. It's like, yeah, you need to pick up your life. That was wrong when that person did. You need to accuse them or defend yourself or stand up for yourself. That doesn't help me. Okay? What helps me is like when they help me see Jesus in the picture again. They bring me godly perspective again. Yeah? It's gold. Real friends call out the best in one another. It's like we search for the gold in one another. So when you do that, this is you're a gift to us when you do that. It's your strength. You're a God-given gift to us. And friendships help us stay anchored to Jesus. Genuine friendships help us to in a sense, anchor is like the wind and the waves come, and the boat always moves. I love when there's all these the big cruise ships that come in. And you know, Dion anchors that thing, and you see the ship the 1 hour, and you get back later, and the ship has turned, you know, and now it's facing this way. But it's anchored, it's rooted in the rock. But the wind and the waves turn it, but it's anchored. It doesn't drift away into the rocks. It's anchored. And friends do that for us with Christ. It's like they ground us in Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, I want to put this I want to remind you this. I don't want you to look for these friends. I want you to become this. I want you to become this for others. You need to ground people in Christ. You need to anchor people in Christ. You need to bring perspective to your friends. You need to be, maybe I should read in that. You need to help others other than try and follow Jesus in isolation. You need to help call out the best in your friends. Amen? Point two. Is this helpful? I hope it's helpful. I hope it's helpful. Marks of a godly friendship. You know, it's interesting. I'm just going to read this. But I heard someone once describe the difference between male and female friendships like this. Women say, let's get coffee and talk about our feelings. Men say, let's sit next to one another, watch rugby, and occasionally say, good game. And somehow, that counts as deep friendship. All right? But when you read the Bible, we actually don't see that. We see something a little bit deeper than that, okay? And you actually see friendships like David and Jonathan, and I love Mark touched on it last week, where it says that they were knit together. They were joined together. And so men, this might be more for you, but even for the ladies, like I think sometimes it's interesting for ladies, I'm going into counseling mode this morning, but I found with ladies through my wife that I've seen is insecurity is a killer for ladies. I'm speaking out here on behalf of you now, babe, sorry. Once my wife is insecure in a friendship, like all the wheels come off. Yeah. And suddenly the deepness of the connection, it's like she has to work towards that friendship, all right? Insecurity is a killer. For men, I think it's purely passiveness. Yeah. We just want good camaraderie, and we think like that's watching a good game of rugby. Now, I love watching rugby together with buddies, okay? But that is not the depth of what I want my friendships to go to. And so there's both here. I think men, like if we're honest, I think many men are weak at being intentional in good friendships. And so what are marks of good godly friendships? Is a first point. So I'm giving notes here today. If you want to make notes, because I actually want you to work with what's being said here today. So first point I want to say is that true friends heighten our joy in God. And so to give you an example, I don't know, what do you guys do here for fun, you know? I surf, okay? Surfing is a lot of fun. Surfing alone is lacquer because you can get more waves, but surfing with a buddy, twice the excitement, all right? Doing a surf trip with someone, triple the excitement. It's just, you make memories together. Fishing, you know? Catching a fish on your own, then the chubas, you know, and you can maybe tell someone afterwards, you know, I caught this thing, like, yeah, whatever, okay? And but having a friend there while you pull out that thing, twice the excitement. Am I right, Mike? Okay? Watching your favorite movie on your own, for the ladies, okay, it's fun. But watching it with your best friend, it makes it even more enjoyable, okay? Same with God. Christ on, you know, one-on-one time with God is amazing and it's essential. You can't replace it. The two can't cross-pollinate. It is like this. We need time alone with God. But time with God, with our friends, it heightens my love for God. It really does. When I, you know, for me, one of my favorite days in the week is Tuesday evenings with the elders, né? And I'm now going to give our secrets away. We work this much, né? And we love this much. I hope that they would say the same. But our Tuesday evenings for me is like we do a little bit of work, and we do work, but I aim our Tuesday evenings that our love would increase for one another. We eat together. We worship together, we do communion together, we speak into one another's lives, we pray for one another, we love one another. And somehow in doing that, even in worshiping God together, it increases my love for God as I see what He's doing in those around me. Love that. You caught him, Michael. Man. And I want to say, guys, that in all the joys of life, God is the greatest joy. And you were made for Him to enjoy Him at the center of our hearts and our lives. And, you know, it heightens our joy with friendship when we're together with Him. Let me see. Sorry, I'm going to try to see what I can cut out because I took way too long on some of the points. I want to say the best gift you can give a friend is the commitment to fight for their joy in God and communion with Christ. To heighten their love for God. It's the best gift you can give to a friend. Okay, point two. True friends expose a sin in us that keeps us from God. And I'm going to stay on this long because we know this, okay? But man, one of the best gifts to me in my life is men around me that came to me, you know, often. So it's often, not that often, but it has happened a couple of times, to my shame. It says, Hannes, we've seen the way that you've spoken to your wife. It's not good. This is back, okay, not recently, okay? And you know, when they said it to me, as much as it cut me, I knew that they were right, even though I thought I won the argument, okay? And it says, Hannes, we've seen how you've handled her. It didn't reflect Christ well. You were wrong in how you did it. Cut me. Yeah? And when I allowed it to cut me, not say, well, who are you to tell me? I've seen how you work with your wife, you know? No. When I allowed it to cut me, God actually came in there with grace, and I could repent to my wife. I even the one that repented before the church. I said, guys, I've been harsh with my wife. I didn't display it well. and grace came. And friends saved me from really hurting my wife, actually, and hurting myself in the process. They exposed sin in my life, but they were genuine friends that came in and did it. It's powerful, okay? We know the scripture in Proverbs 27. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Faithful are the wounds of the friend. It changed me. All right, point three. True friends encourages us to obey God. I love this. It says, it's not just allowing us to plot along, but we encourage one another to follow Christ. And so Hebrews 10, 24 says this, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. One of my biggest roles that I find with my friends here is as it's becoming friends, I'm looking, how do I help you to follow God? How do I help you to obey God? What is it that God is asking of you, that He wants you to do, that I'm stirring you into obey Christ? You should do that. You should do that to your friends. What is God challenging them on, and how do you stir them to obey God? And this is interesting, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the day you see the day drawing near. We don't speak about this often. Now, I know where most of the people are that's not here. But I want to say there's a challenge for people sometimes to be present and be faithful. Sunday, this is a whole different preacher on his own, but Sunday throughout the world is God's day. It's the Lord's day. It's that, when we follow Him, this is a day where we devote ourselves to God and to His church and to love Him. It's one day a week. And even back in the day, Paul's writing and he says, there's been many that actually neglect meeting together. It's like, oh, I'll be there when I can, I'm not there when I can't, whatever, leave me alone. Paul says, no. Friends will stir one another to love and good works and encourage one another not to neglect meeting together. And so that shouldn't come from me leading the thing as a, hey, where were you? Because that is an insecurity complex attached to it. If I come from that place. Now, I'll ask friends, hey, man, I missed you. Where have you been? I've missed you. But I'm asking it as a friend, not as an insecure leader. But one of the most powerful things that is in your hands is if you looked around today and says, who am I missing? I know who I'm missing. But have you looked around this morning and says, yo, Greg, where's Greg? Greg took leave today. He asked me. But have you wondered, hey, man, I've missed you. Just where were you? And then if it becomes a habit, if it's now the fifth time in a row that they're not here, God actually says this, if you're a friend to that person, you'd go to them and say, hey, I don't know why you've been missing, but I want to encourage you, don't neglect meeting together with the brothers. You need us and we need you. It's a gift God has given in your hands to do, actually. Good one to remember. Amen? I'm just going to finish off here, guys. Sorry, I took way too long. But I want to say true friends brings us to God in our weakness. And I'm not going to read this passage, but the story of the friends that has brought the lame man on the stretcher and opened the hole in the roof and that dropped him in front of Jesus. There's times where we need people who will put us in a stretcher and take us to Jesus. And it's interesting, God actually says He healed that man because of the faith of His friends. And I want to say, how many of your friends have been healed internally and physically because of your faith that you brought them to Christ? And so who are you going to load on a stretcher and bring them to God? It's a good example for us. But I've had times where I just had no zeal left in my heart. I was finished. I felt like I was battered around every side. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't see how I'm going to keep on. I couldn't see. And I had a friend who, when he heard about it, got in his car in Cape Town. We drove to come and see me for 2 hours and drove back. But He put me on a stretcher and He took me to God. Until He saved me. It really did. And I'll never forget that day. Grant Baker, he just rocked up here, saw me for 2 hours and he drove back. I thank God for that man. And it's one of those times where I actually think that day, I had no ambition left in a sense in my heart to make it. But He carried me to God. Who will you carry to God? Are you looking for the lame and the paralyzed among us? There's some even sitting here this morning, the lonely, the brokenhearted. And can you bring them to God? And we bring people to Christ by listening to one another. By listening to one another. Not cheap fixes, okay? We bring one another to Christ through meeting practical needs. I want to say this, man, in suffering, we help in practical needs. And I want to commend you guys as a church. We're actually good at that. We're good at helping one another with practical needs. And we bring our friends to Christ in prayer. Now, I want to say, in some sense, prayer is easy because we can often say to people, yeah, I'll pray for you, you know, and sometimes we do, skit gebeki, but our hearts are not invested in it. I want us to, if you're genuinely invested to it, pray and then act upon the prayer. Amen? And so, point three, pursuing friendships. And this is really, I want to say, like a marriage. In some sense, it is like a marriage here. You can coexist together, but if you want to have a good marriage, you work at it. You pursue it. Any of the married people there, say amen. All right. We pursue it. And because we know there's joy on the other side, a happy wife, a happy life, okay? There's joy on the other side of this thing. And so I want to say just practical rhythm, practical helps for us guys to work on our friendships. Is firstly, I want to say establish rhythms for your relationships. And what I mean with this is in Malkus, our friends used to have this saying. They said, Sunday evenings are for hunters. And it was. I finished my work on a Sunday. Mondays, I was off, okay? And so Sunday evenings, we said, there's no work. We're not going to meet with someone because there's an emergency or whatever, or some pastoral need. Sunday evenings are for friendships. And we just hung out. I didn't want to answer any church practical questions. I just wanted to be friends. And they all had to work on the next day. I didn't work, you know. I took off. So we would hang till 2 o'clock in the morning, and they all go shattered to work the next day. That's why they started calling it Sundays off for Hunters. It was a great rhythm. I loved it, okay? But it's something that we apply to our lives. We said, man, we're going to Sunday evenings, we're going to book out as a family, and this is for friendship time. And it's friends who we're going to be deep, we're going to be intentional, but we're going to keep a space open that I don't just do work, or intentionality stuff. We just hang. And make a rhythm in your life to find gaps where you can either one day a week during your lunch have a meal with a friend. You all have to eat, okay? You all have to do something. Man, invite people for meals. Have a night a week like that and have people over, but have rhythm, all right? Point two, I want to say to the men, drop each conversation a notch deeper. And the ladies. But try and go from, hey, how are you? Oh, tough week, warm weather. Huh? Yo, how hot was Wednesday? Huh? Lucky. All right, bye. Try and think, you know, to go deeper here, you know. I want to say, share your real life. Surface level friendships stay surface level because people never move past safe topics. Say that again. Surface level friendships stay surface level friendships because people never move past safe topics. Talk about our struggles, asking for prayer, sharing doubts or fears, you know. And I want to say this, when one person goes first, the often follows. The other often follows. It's like, open the door, you know. Ask intentional questions. When I drive to someone, I think, what questions do I want to ask them to try and get to their heart? I think about these things. It's like, I think, how do I go a little bit deeper here? Like, hey, last time you told me about this thing, how's it going with that? I remember. I'm intentional. I listen, okay. I don't want to stay on this too long because I'm way over time. But this is a good gift, okay? Ask one another what they're reading in the scriptures. And if they're saying, no, not really anything, okay, there's something for you to talk about, okay? But ask one another what they're reading and what is God convicting them about? Because I don't know about you, but if I spent this book, the time in this book, it convicts me. It gets to my heart. And by reading it, you can ask me, what are you reading in Ezekiel this morning, I read about the judgment that came on them because they hardened their hearts. And I would say, God, where have I hardened my heart? Where have I become callous? Where have am I experiencing anything? Like, it convicts me. So it's a good question to ask, all right? Moving on, I want to say express affection. Romans 12 says this, actually, Romans 12:10. It says, love one another with brotherly affection. Remember Peter? Love one another with brotherly affection. And express affection. Guys, I wanna actually encourage us. Like, don't be cold. Maybe that's a better thing. Don't be cold towards one another. Move towards one another. Guys with guys, girls with girls, of course, okay? Affirmation. I love this one. And I'm coming in for a land. Are you guys still all right? Sorry, I went way too long here. But affirmation, Romans 12 actually then says, so you can put that scripture up again, verse 10, it says, outdo one another in showing honor. And I think one of the most powerful cultures in friendships is to honor one another and to look for stuff that we can honor one another for. is to look for, when I consider you, this aspect of your life, it blesses me. I just want to say you're a gift to me. Outdoing one another and showing honor. In marriage, we always talk, when we do marriage counseling, we say there's two things. They ask a stat. It's a stat that they had somewhere for marriage. What is the number one thing ladies want in a marriage? So sit and listen to this one. All right? It's being loved and being cared for. Being loved and being cared for. It's what ladies want. What do men want? Being money. Yeah, no, I'm joking. It's being respected and being affirmed. It's like, and I'm talking the stats is in the 90s. It is like men wants to know that they're the head of the house. And ladies want to know that you give up your life for her. That's how it works. And in friendship, I want to say, guys, a friendship can only bear that long if the culture of the friendship is breaking one another down. But a friendship will deepen if we learn to affirm one another and call out the good in one another. All right? And then I want to say practically, just invite people to what you're doing already. This week, we had rest week, and they said, we want to go have dinner at the beach. Anton did it with his birthday. Hey, we want to have dinner at the beach. Everyone wants to join. Come. All right. We had supper at the beach 3 times this week, and we just said, hey, we're going down, we're taking food down, do you want to join us? We're doing it anyway. It would be great to share it with people. All right, rhythms. And so I'm landing here, and let me just see if there's anything else. You know, how this popped up for me, and this is the conclusion, all right? Sorry, guys. It's so wrong. But hopefully this was helpful. Okay? And, you know, it's interesting. In persecuted countries like Russia, I was in Russia 9 times already in years ago. But in Russia, as a persecuted country, they're number 9 on the list in the world at the moment. It's hectic, for being persecuting Christians. But you know how it started? Is they banned gatherings in homes around the name of Jesus. They said, the church can meet on Sundays, but the church can't meet in homes. And it's interesting, you know, we were there when the law got passed the 1 year. The Putin declared it. We were there. I was in Russia when it happened. It was like panic that broke out in the church. And you think, what's the point? You know, we can still come together in the church. You know, we can still do whatever we want. No. But it's funny. Like, I think there's something about the know that in homes, it's where brotherly affection grows. And as our love for one another grow, it's actually that the love for Christ increases in our hearts. And it binds us together. And the church becomes a force that can't be reckoned with. And you see this in persecuted countries, that they stop it in homes first. Yet, you know, in for us as a country, it's like we actually give it up so cheaply. And we says we'll be there on the Sunday, but homes are a stretch for us. I want to say, friends, it shows us something, that actually being with one another, gathering in homes, having friendships, working at it, opening our hearts to one another, making time for it, prioritizing it, is a gift of God to us. And we need it to grow into the knowledge of Christ. And so with that, I want to land this. Thank you for your patience this morning. I couldn't believe that I went that long. I spent way too long on the first points. Are you guys all right? But so maybe let's close our eyes here. And, you know, in some sense, I'm touching on something potentially quite foreign for us here. But I actually think, I agree with the stat that I read in the beginning, that it's an epidemic or pandemic in our time. Loneliness. Or inability to really coexist together or to cohabit together, to make friends together, to belong, to be part, to be known. This is a deep skill that we need, but something we have to contend for. And I want to ask you, what would be your appropriate response to us, to the Lord this morning? But I actually want to, instead of doing something this morning, I want to ask you to go home and to work with what you've heard this morning. And for some, you thought about this for a long time. I want to actually invite that person over. I want to do this. And for some, if you say, but I've got my friends, I want to say, based on Mike DeFay last week, as well, we need to get the circles bigger. We need to open it up to more people. And I want to, this week, if there's something in your heart that as you listen, you say, yeah, man, I want to grow in this. Then you just want to put up your hand and just, okay, one, that's great, okay? But if there's something this today that when you listen, you said, oh, God, I think that thing I want to focus on, you just keep your hand up. And all I'm doing is I want you to commit to the Lord this week and say, God, I've heard your voice this morning, And I want to take action based on what I've heard. And I want to initiate some stuff here. I want to grow in my friendships. And I want to not just wait for someone else to become a friend to me, but I want to become a friend to others. So, Lord, I want to ask you, just keep your hand in to the Lord. But Lord, even for me, I was deeply challenged when I prepared this preach. But we want to be a church, Lord, who bring the lonely into family, who welcome the lost, who open wide our hearts to others. God, I want to be known, and I want others to be known. And I want to pray, would this be a church where we are not just simply meeting together in the same venue, but we are deeply connected? I pray, would you help us, God? Even many of these points that I mentioned, those who are missing today, that they will feel that we miss them, and that there are people who reach out to them. And would you help us, God, even that, as Peter says, that we'll grow in our brotherly affection and our love, that we can grow in our knowledge of Christ himself. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.